It's time for Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Gen Solar, the Fairbanks leader in sustainable, reliable energy solutions. And now, Building Alaska.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Building Alaska. You know, one thing I've been thinking about lately is just how expensive it's getting just to live in Alaska. Whether it's heating your home, paying electric bills, groceries, everything just keeps adding up. And it's got a lot of people, you know, thinking about the same question. How in the world are we one of the most energy-rich places in the world, but still hearing about all these warnings about shortages and rising utility costs here at home? Joining me today is Josh Church to help break down all of this. And Josh, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Awesome. It's always a pleasure having you on here. We love what you do. We love what you're doing for the state. You know, you and your family are very influential. We learn a lot and we're supporting you. I know that this segment is going to be really good for all of our listeners because this is going to give us more in-depth, more personal understanding of what's happening behind the scenes and how you're involved. So, you know, with the intro, we're talking about energy. How serious is the situation really in the state? And are we getting closer to an energy crunch than most people realize?
Yeah, it's huge. So growing up, I lived in the Philippines. You know, they had rolling blackouts. The U.S. didn't have that problem, right? We were stable grids, right? Now you see places like California, they have them, right? And so the reality is, we've been sort of fed a fictional narrative that wind or solar or something can be sufficient. But the reality really is that people don't want to admit Western civilization runs on carbon, right?
Yeah,
it runs on fossil fuels. It runs on petroleum. You know, prior to this, I mean, imagine trying to run your economy. Look at New York back in the day when it was horse wagons before cars. You know, you cannot have a city of that many millions of people when you're using, you know, animal power, right? You can't power a city. You can't power a country. And so when we make poor choices and we don't acknowledge that the whole Western civilization runs on cheap energy, we start to have problems. And so Alaska has a energy grid that has not been seeing the right amount of investment for years. And if your tax structure is wrong, if your capital investment is wrong, what you get is you get an old system that starts to break down and you're relying on intermittent wind and solar that pick up during certain peak times, but they're not consistent and reliable. And so then you start to get blackouts. And there are a lot of people in the industry that are very concerned that our grid is getting less stable, less reliable. And, you know, we were getting really close to the point where TAPS was maybe going to have to get shut down, where the pipeline was not having enough oil flowing in it. So it's starting to cause problems because it had less oil flowing in it than it was designed for, right? And so we've turned that around because we had a pro-growth federal administration and we sold a record number of leases. And so we have new wells coming online, which is turning that projection around, which for decades has been downtrending, right? But all of our society is based on cheap energy. That affects everything. I mean, this radio show, right? The lights are powered by electricity. Where does the electricity come from? From coal or from diesel generators, primarily. I mean, everywhere across the world, that's the primary driver. And so we absolutely need to shake off the philosophy that we don't need coal, that we don't need diesel, that we don't need natural gas. And we have got to make sure those are the jobs, those are the industries that built Alaska. And when you take it further back, that's what built the country. I mean, prior, a long time ago, we used to hunt whales for their blubber and the oil, right? You know, the sea oil and stuff.
Yep.
So modern societies would only be possible with the natural gas and the oil wells and the coal that we found. Yep. You can't run modern societies without that.
Yeah. And speaking of which, it's not just what's powering up, you know, buildings and businesses and all these things. But if you look at what petroleum does, right, you got plastic containers that are made up of
oil, right?
And then you got product that's going overseas as plastic form and coming back in threads, making plastic clothing.
I'm pretty sure the shirt has some plastic in it.
Right. You know? So there's a lot more oil involved than people really understand.
Yeah, look at the mic in front of us. You know, this rubber is not natural rubber from rubber trees, right? This is a petroleum product. Yeah, absolutely. You just cannot run Western civilization without that energy. And there are ways you can reduce, you know, wind and solar in certain places can help offset. But you have to be careful about that, because if you have a generator that has the capacity to deliver 100,000 users, let's say, and I add 5%, 5,000 new users of solar, I can't turn off that generator.
Right.
Right. So now I'm just running that generator at less than peak efficiency. So mm-hmm. my cost actually increase with a small amount of wind or solar added to it. And so you have to be careful and have to, you know what you're doing. Otherwise, they don't necessarily add, but they're putting in a small nuclear reactor, you know, a nuclear battery, basically, and Eielson. And so there's some talk about doing that at other military bases or maybe, you know, native communities around the state. And, you know, there's even some talk about the Susitna Dam project, right? So you could potentially do hydro or small scale hydro. But all for the majority of places around the world, and particularly in Alaska, the vast majority of our life is funded through, you know, these type of traditional energy. And so we need to be open to that. When you drive those businesses out, costs go up, right?
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
Everybody feels it. Your drive works more expensive. And all the tractor that farms, when his cost goes up, then
yep.
growing the produce gets more expensive. Then shipping it gets more expensive. Then running the lights at the Walmart gets more expensive. So you have this trickle-down exactly. effect where it adds, you know, I've seen a study that something like 20-25% of the cost of most goods is actually in the oil or the gas that's used to produce it. So it's a huge driver of cost, absolutely huge driver. So we need to, you know, right now, actually, that's a conversation that's being held in Juneau. My running mate, Dave Bronson, with a bunch of Fairbanks and I think business owners from around the state, flew down to Juneau, to the capital city yesterday. And they were attempting to testify. Some of them got to testify. Dave got to testify to the legislature in the Senate Resources Committee. And to be frankly honest, the Senate is playing games. There are some interests that don't want the gas line to happen. And so they're looking at a tax structure, and they moved the committee meeting several times in order to, you know, make it harder for people who are flying in to testify. But there is a mindset sometimes that's an anti-growth. Mm-hmm. And so if they put the tax rate too high, that project won't pencil out, right? And so there's sometimes the legislature plays games like that. And that's unfortunate, because Alaskans have some of the highest cost of living, and we need cheaper energy. These winters are too long and too hard.
Oh, yeah. Especially this last one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So a gas line coming through does multiple things. One, if we get a gas line through and then we get a spur line as the next phase of the project, now we can set like a floor. Like, let's mm-hmm. say it's productive. Let's say it's, you know, $5. Just make this number up. Let's say this $5 a unit price, you know, I'm sure that's wrong. A $5 unit price is the number that works, right? Well, then if there's a national crisis, an international thing, and all of a sudden the price shoots up to $10, right? We don't necessarily, depending on how that rate agreement is, we could have a locked-in agreement maybe where Alaskans have that floor price and we're only paying the $5, okay. right? And so but then we can still sell excess to the international markets at the higher price and make. So that would be an ideal situation where we can not only benefit from the jobs that happen with that infrastructure, not only benefit from the tax revenue, but potentially, if the agreement is structured right, we can lock in sort of a ceiling on our cost, right? And so there's just so many benefits. You know, we were talking before the show started. You've talked to multiple different investors from the lower 48 that say, hey, if this gas line happens, there's going to be a lot of other industries yep. that yep. start growing. And so there's other sort of unrelated investment, you know, guys looking at buying other businesses and expanding them mm-hmm. with capital from the lower 48. So this could be huge for people. And that's what you want. And, you know, we won't get into this in this segment, but energy drives everything. We were talking about off the break, and we'll do this in another segment, but we have a huge problem with schools closing.
Exactly.
Well, schools are closing because there's less students.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a growing economy with new jobs and people moving because the cost of living is not so high, you have new students into your school, you don't have to close schools. And all of a sudden, that problem gets a lot more solvable or goes away. And so there's a lot of sort of trickle down effects besides the taxes on this gas line that could be huge for the state. And I think people get confused a little bit on the taxes, and we can talk about that now or in another segment. But the tax structure can get complicated with these large projects. And so you or I have a building, and we have property taxes on it, and it's pretty simple. But when you have a huge capital investment with a volatile price that can move up and down, sometimes you need the safety of structuring that agreement where your taxes are not this fixed cost. So the gas line right now, what the Glen Farm, the producers want, is they want a tax that's associated with the amount of gas that flows through it rather than the fixed like high property taxes. Mm. Basically. Mm. And so it's a restructuring, whereas if they're shipping more gas and making more money, then they pay more taxes. If they're shipping less, they pay less. Rather than, oh, property tax, you just pay the same amount regardless whatever you ship. Well, that creates a risk that if you're not able to produce as much, you might have more taxes than you can afford to pay. And the main thing I wish people understood, and sorry if I'm running too long here.
No, you're good. You're good. This is good.
What I wish people understood, this is how I look at things, is you want to get the best deal possible for Alaskans. And that means like the revenue for government to fund schools and things like that. But part of the best deal for Alaskans is not the taxes, it's the jobs and the other things that happen. And so a piece of something is better than a whole nothing. And I try and look at my whole life that way. Yeah. I like win-win deals where I can buy a property from you and you feel like you got a fair price and I still got enough value to, like, I like a deal where it's win-win. And sometimes it feels like government is out there to get the maximum amount of tax revenue they can. And at some points, pushing for that kills the project. And it's like, you know, if you got 80% of what you wanted and the project was a go, that's better than 100% of nothing.
That's true. Yeah. It's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. Well, I think this gas line is huge. Dave's actually flying up here to Fairbanks tomorrow. It won't be when this episode airs probably, but he's flying up here tomorrow. And we're going to meet with some people to talk more about the gas line, because we view our role, well, we're campaigning, but really, once we get in, our role is to advocate for cheaper energy. That's like number one. Mm. We've got to get cheaper energy. We got to get growth happening in this state, right? That's like the number one priority of our administration would be to facilitate growth, get the economy growing again, make lives better, get where you can't have, you know, happy, productive people when the inflation, the cost of energy and stuff is going up faster than your pay raises.
Yep.
And so how do you get pay raise? Well, there's growth, right? You got to get growth. So that's going to be the top priority. So Dave's coming up here and we're going to go meet with some different officials and business people just to further on like the fight that he flew down to Anchorage for. And hopefully we can get this gas line to go through this legislative session. And if that happens, that'll really help with growth and with cost of energy. And then the next governor, they're going to have to work real hard to make sure those long-term rate agreements are fair and to get the spur line approved and make sure that that happens so Fairbanks gets connected. And then there's going to be a lot of other follow-on industries that are going to come if that happens. And we haven't even gotten yet to talk about some of the other things that are potentially on the line for what could happen for growth in Alaska.
Yeah, and we will. We're going to cut to a short break, guys. But before we do, stay tuned in because this is serious. This is happening right now. This involves everybody in the state. It's very important to understand what's happening behind the scenes. I say this a lot. we bring people on the show to not to expose, but to bring to light what's happening so that you're not in the dark. A lot of people are wondering, why is the cost going up? Why is this changing? Why is that changing? Guys, when we come back from the break, we'll continue where we last left off.
Building Alaska will be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at Gen Solar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Gen Solar.
Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week. Every hour, every day. Plus 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Building Alaska. I have with me Josh Church. We just got done talking about how important and how crucial the health bar is when it comes to energy, specifically here in Alaska. And so we were talking about what Dave Bronson is doing and some of the business owners here from Fairbanks and, you know, from around the state going down to Juneau and, you know, sharing their testimonies. And there's just so much going on down there. There's so much pushback, and it's only harming the locals. It's only harming Alaska that much more. And so we went through Josh went through thoroughly and was explaining what's happening, how it works, you know, all the moving pieces and what it looks like. A lot of people don't even know this. A lot of people don't have time to get on their phone, to get on the line and you know, educate themselves and study and find out, hey, what's going on with this state? Why are we in the position that we're in? So we talked about what the big dogs are doing. We talked about what those in high power are doing. They're big moves. Some of them are being, like we've talked about, they're getting pushed back. But when it comes to people, just everyday people that go to work, provide for their families, employees, sometimes employers, what can we do on our level to involve ourselves to help out with what's going on?
I'm really glad you brought that up. So this is going to sound like a divergent of that, but I stick with me here for a second.
Okay.
If you look back at the fires in California with PG&E years ago, one of the causes that they identified was that they let brush get too close to the power lines. Okay. If you look at the fires they just recently had, one of the causes they identified was that there were these reservoirs up in the hill, and they had built them in like the 40s and 50s to as a certain number of these hillside reservoirs so the water would be gravity fed when they had it. But they didn't build more of them as they expanded more housing over the decades, right? So when the fire happened, there was a massive shortage. They didn't have enough water, right? So if they had stuck to the good plan that was there originally, there wouldn't have been this big problem later. But they got complacent, or they got anti-development, and they didn't want to cut the brush because it would, you know, affect the environmentalism or whatever it was. They didn't want to add the reservoirs because that was more infrastructure. And so you started with saying, hey, it looks like we're getting to a point where we might have infrastructure problems like the Cook Inlet's running out of gas, you know, Anchorage's. And absolutely, if we don't take the proactive steps and make the right decisions and invest in infrastructure, we will have those problems. And eventually they become huge problems, right? And the state is heading in that direction. We have an opportunity here with the gas line and some of these other projects to turn this around. So how does that affect the little person? Well, first off, we're all just little people. We all put our pants on the same way. And the only reason I'm involved is you start to realize you have the opportunity to be a positive change. And when you realize that, hey, there's a problem and somebody's not fixing it, then that, and you have the expertise, then you should get involved, right? And so for me, a good example of that, and I had a friend years ago, he asked to meet with me. I sat down and talked with him, and I asked a bunch of questions and looked into it. He worked for the trucking company that got this Manh Choh project, right? There was a lot of pushback on the time about them trucking the ore from Manh Choh up to Kinross to be refined. People didn't want that trucking on the road. Well, he asked me if I would like testify and be in support of it. So I went through and I looked at it and I said, well, these trucks are safer. They have an extra axle. They have the best brakes on the industry. These are better than the standard. The trucks pay all the taxes to get licensed. They pay the diesel taxes, which is supposed to go for the roads. Why wouldn't I be in favor of this project that's bringing on new jobs? So I went and spoke at meetings at the assembly about it. I went and wrote op-eds about it. And you can do that. If you are knowledgeable in an area, trucking or whatever it is, and there's some project that the legislature or assembly or other people who aren't knowledgeable are pushing back against. I used to be on the GVA Member Advisory Committee, the MAC, and that's a committee that helps advise the board of the Golden Valley Electric Corporation. And every meeting I would sit on there, there would be so many people calling in, talking about how we need to shut down the coal plants because the polar ice caps were going to melt and methane gas was going to be released and we're all going to die. I'm not trying to be critical of anyone, but you cannot allow people with that mindset and that activism to shut down, because then the cost of energy here will be unacceptably high. So you can get involved, get on the member advisory committee, put in an application. When you see the borough assembly is pushing back on a project or something they're trying to kill, get out there and speak. A real simple example, this is not energy, but it's related. Right now in Anchorage, they're looking at hardening the base down there. I think it's J-Bear. They want to build a big fence, right, for security reasons. Makes sense. And it's also going to bring in a lot of money and jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the assembly doesn't like it for some reason. So the assembly's trying to get the base to not add this fence. If you live in Anchorage, go down there and testify and tell these people to stop messing with a good project and jobs, right? And so that's the first thing is, like, if you know something, you're a guy that works for GVA or whatever it is, get involved in the different committees, go to the assembly meetings, go to the council meetings, write op-eds, get involved in your community, because if you don't, somebody else will. And they may stop these growth. Now, is the ideal situation that we truck all that ore from one mine to another? Actually, that's pretty unideal. That's pretty inefficient. Why don't we, refine it on site so we're trucking a small amount? Well, think about it. How many decades does it take to get a mine approved these days?
Yeah, that's true.
And how long does it take to get a refinery approved? When's the last time we had a refinery built? So part of the problem is we have allowed this risk adverse mindset to get to the point where we can't hardly build refineries. We can't hardly build, pipelines anymore, because there's this, well, what if we spill one drop? Like, and the reality is we can do things safely, but we need to push back on this, like, 100% mindset. Hey, sometimes you there's an acceptable tolerance, right? And there's a reason why we don't drive 5 miles an hour down the highway, right? The speed limit is 60, not 5. Point. If safety was 100% first, we would drive 5, right?
Yeah.
But that would grind our economy to a halt. So just don't think that your experience in whatever it is that your knowledge about is not valuable and that only the best experts are in charge. get involved, have an element of humility, because you might get involved and find out you didn't know as much as you thought. But walk in there and get involved in your area of expertise, because you might just find out, you know what, they kind of need my help here, right? And you can be an asset to your community. I went to Nenana yesterday and spoke to a couple of high school classes. And that's what I tried to tell them is like, don't focus on like who you're going to get elected to the president or, you know, what the global temperature is or something you can't control. Focus on something you can get involved in, something you can control. Start with whatever you know about. And for me, like one of the first things I started on, I got on the Animal Control Commission in Fairbanks. Why? Well, I like animals, and nobody else on that commission had a finance background. Mm. And I figured somebody should have a finance background if we're making—
That would be good.
Right. Yeah. So just get involved where you have an area of expertise.
That's so interesting. Not try to backtrack too much, but you know, that mindset of this is a problem you see everywhere. It's not just in Alaska. It's through the whole United States, sometimes even certain parts of the world, where people are so consumed with things they cannot control.
Yeah.
And it almost seems like that overstimulates them to a point where their mind is only open to negativity, right? Like, well, absolutely, there's nothing we can do. Oh, absolutely, no, it's the end of the world. It's doomsday. It's this. No, we're going to. If America was acting like that, we'd be a third world country. Mistakes are made, but there's a cleanup crew. You know, there's so many things that are happening around the world that people don't consider. There's so much that's happening in the state of Alaska that people don't get to see. Some stuff is swept under the rug. We understand that it's not fair all the time. But if we're not constantly growing and pushing, we can't expect a better future. And man, going to those schools and talking to children, talking to young adults, talking to people before they get into a line of work where they might be stuck in some kind of career, 30, 40, 50 years, whatever, to get them to start thinking outside the box. You know, we're probably not going to have too much time right now because we only got a few more minutes left. But next week we're going to be covering, you know, what's going on with the schools. Education is everything. I didn't think much of it, you know, but when I started working with Constantine, he's my boss. He's also my friend. He's my brother-in-law. He's a lot to me. He's one of my advisors. And he's always drilling about education, 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 education. How many things 10 years ago, two, three, four generations ago, how many things did our ancestors know that were never passed down? How many things could have been improved in our day and age if we were to pass down this knowledge and information and wisdom?
Yeah.
But it's not happening. It's not happening right now. So educating, this is what we try to do on the show, is to get this information out there, to get the gears going. And it just might have been that, you know, the winter, this was a hard winter. It was, I was at a pivot point. I'm not going to lie. I was just like, okay, you know, we're probably going to snowbird. But this is the reality. We live here.
Right.
If we're leaving every single winter, how are we contributing as residents?
Right.
But it's very important to educate the next generation.
That's so true. I had a moment of that in COVID. I saw how little there was stocked up on supplies, right? And so you have some people that go in that prepper mindset, and that's fun. I've never really went down that road too much. You have to live in the reality and not in fear. But it occurred to me during COVID, our society, you talk about things being forgotten. My grandparents had root cellars because they farmed. Our society was much more prepared. If a COVID had a 6-month supply shutdown, half America would have been fine, right? They had the supplies on hand. We were more resilient. And so you can, if you're not careful, you can lose some wisdom of like, hey, it doesn't have to be fear to have 3 months of extra cash in the bank. It doesn't have to be fear to have 3 months of canned goods in the basement, right? And so you can... I think some of the other generations at time had some more of that wisdom. And as we've moved more and more into this global interconnected, I ordered on Amazon right now. I check my social media. We sometimes lose our grounding, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have to go all down the road in panic, but you can say, hey, what's a more balanced position here? And that can be everything from, you know, from stocking up on a little bit of food to financial stability, or even what you said, you know, you get stuck in the national news and in the parties, it can be so divisive. But then you actually sit down and have conversations with your neighbors, and a lot of times, there's a lot more you agree on than you disagree.
That's so true. There's a lot that you'll find a lot of common ground with your neighbors. It just takes that time to go out there and just sit down there, a cup of coffee, maybe invite them over for some barbecue. Guys, we are at the end of our show. Stay tuned in, guys, because next week when we come back, we're going to be talking about what's happening with the school system. There's so much happening. You got to know what's happening. Guys, stay tuned in. This is Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, and we will see you next week.
You've been listening to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. Building Alaska is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.